Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Scriptures, your inspired and perfect word. Lord, I offer to you what is prepared for this sermon, but pray that you would send the fire from heaven to make it living and powerful, and to help, Lord, all our souls, so that we might die more to sin and live more to your glory. Amen. Please turn with me again to the Gospel of Mark and the first few verses of chapter 1. The Gospel according to Mark. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came, baptizing in the wilderness, and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to be an outsider for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to separate yourself from the world? Willing to live differently to the majority of people around you, and perhaps those near you, family and friends? Are you willing to separate yourself from the values and the culture and the way of life of those all around you? Are you willing to do this, knowing it will bring trouble on you, knowing that you may be misunderstood, reviled and excluded, treated a bit like an outcast or social pariah? Are you willing to be pushed out of the mainstream of society for the sake of Christ? And this is the real test of your faith. Is it genuine? It will be seen in whether you are willing to carry your cross when it is unpopular and unprofitable to serve Christ. Will you do it then? Because I believe those days are now here and are coming on at a pace. And there's going to be a need to be far more radical in the Christian faith than we have yet been. But then let me ask you a second question. Are you also willing to stand with sinners? Are you willing to identify yourself with the church, the repentant, the contrite? And in turning your back on the world, to be numbered with the tiny remnant of God's people who confess that they are sinners who need a saviour, willing to identify themselves as sinners. So are you willing to be an outsider for Jesus Christ? And are you willing to stand with sinners? Because I believe those are the questions that arise from our text. John the Baptist was sent by God as the last of the Old Covenant prophets. But he was truly the great outsider. His ministry was all about being separate from the world in order to call together a new people of God, a people separate from the world who would belong to Jesus Christ. And really, this is the first big point for us to consider from a passage in Mark's Gospel. When we look at John the Baptist's work and ministry, you'll see that what Mark emphasizes is that John was an outsider. He stepped out of the world. Consider first the place John was sent to minister. John appeared in the wilderness, verse 4. Now, when you look at all the evidence in the Gospels, it would seem that John was ministering around Bethany, near the River Jordan. So somewhere in the southern part of the Jordan Valley, where it, just north of where it would empty into the Dead Sea. And as far as we know, at the time of Christ, it was scarcely populated, uncultivated. So he's far away from any significant population. Perhaps there would have been vipers living in dense reeds, wild boars, the hot sun without shade. It was an inhospitable place. And that John goes there is deeply symbolic. Because it's in the wilderness God had revealed himself to the world. The Israelites had to come out of Egypt into the desert to meet God on Mount Sinai. God was not found in the world. He would not dwell in the sinful kingdoms of the world where human beings would try to live without him, where sinners have it their own way. And so John is coming, if you like, walking in the footsteps of Moses, and he's leading the people out of their Egypt, out of the corruption in Israel, in the world. In a sense, you could say that the spiritual wilderness was in the populated world, where everyone was going on, living their sinful lives, breaking God's laws. And so to find God, you'd have to come out and literally separate yourself. This is the symbolism of why John goes into the wilderness. The place shows he was saying, don't go with the world, come out. Now strikingly, John is also following in the footsteps of the prophet Elijah. And think about Elijah. He's the ultimate outsider. He protested against the corruption of Ahab and was willing to separate himself from the people and the powerful as a protest against their idolatry. And where did Elijah go? Into the wilderness. To be separate from sinful Israel. Even to the point he thought that he alone was left faithful to God. Until the Lord reveals there are thousands yet. Now John literally appears in the same place that 2 Kings chapter 2 tells us Elijah disappeared from. When the chariot of heaven came for him. John starts there where Elijah left. And he appears to have dressed in a way that imitated Elijah. So John is very graphically saying he's coming in the spirit of Elijah to carry on his work. He's saying, look, this is a sinful generation as it was in Ahab's time. And so to follow God, come out. He's wearing John's cloak. He's saying be separate from a sinful time. The place shows us John was willing to separate himself from the world. Are you willing to follow? Or consider the preaching of John. He preached repentance. An unpopular message. To say repent means that you're saying the world is wrong. Stop the world. I want to get off. The world needs to turn around. It's broken. It's going in the wrong direction. Its values are wrong. And more than this, John was willing to stand up and say, you need to repent. You can, I think, silently object to the world. And as long as you stay silent, you'll be tolerated by the world. But if you dare to speak out against it and tell it to repent and tell it needs to change because it's sinful, then you'll find the world is no friend. And you'll be denounced as a holier-than-thou type, as narrow or judgmental. You're prejudiced and closed-minded. But John was willing to preach and say, no, you've got to change. So his preaching shows he was willing to separate himself from the world. Are you willing to follow him? His own person shows he was willing to separate himself. Have you ever asked, why did John dress the way that he did? Why did he eat the way that he did? And why does Scripture mention that? Well, there is the obvious parallel to Elijah. but as well and simply, John was visibly showing he was turning his back on the values of the world. His clothes and his diet were humble. They were poor. They were simple. They were self-denying. Lord Jesus himself criticized those who dressed in purple robes, rich, expensive robes. The Pharisees, the court of Herod, who were all living to pursue wealth. And so they would show it off in how they lived and dressed. And so in the way that John's acting, he's saying, he's giving a visible protest against wealth and excessive luxury that the world pursues. He was giving a protest and saying, don't follow worldly comforts and pleasures. If that's just what you're living for, to have nicer and nicer things and be more and more well off, just to indulge yourself. And that's the good life in the world. Have good clothes and a good home and good food. Have a good image. And John is graphically shunning all of that. As an example, as a prophet, he set up. Not that we all have to follow self-denial exactly the same way, but he was a model of self-denial and humility. He's turning his back on that whole value system. And he's coming as the emissary of a very different king. A king who would come to serve, riding on a donkey, washing people's feet. And so he's demonstrating this is his way in his kingdom. The same spirit of humility that cares nothing for outward glory. So his person shows he was willing to separate himself from the world. Are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to follow him by speaking out and saying the world is wrong and sinful? And are you willing to follow him in your person? Now, this is perhaps something that you need to take more seriously. Our culture is an incredibly worldly one. The modern way of life is all about getting more and more stuff. And it's all about appearance. Designer labels matter. It's all about getting nicer possessions. Healthy, wealthy and well fed. We need to turn our back on those empty values. Just as visibly as John did. Now we don't have to literally go to a desert. And there are false kinds of asceticism to avoid. And it is a matter of the heart first. But if we are walking with the Lord Jesus, shouldn't there be a visible difference? Shouldn't it show? So what are you doing with your money? What are you doing with your career? Is it about glory and gaining more stuff or a good reputation? Or is it instead about humbly seeking to serve others? Are you giving away as much as you can to those in need? Are you practicing self-denial? Are there not some luxuries that you should reject? Doesn't Scripture command us to dress modestly? That's just as much a commandment in Scripture as any other in the letter of 1 Peter. And if you look at that letter of 1 Peter in context and that command to dress modestly, it is not primarily something physical or sexual. It's not what he means. He means dress modestly to not display your wealth and to show off your prosperity. That's why he goes on to say, look, it's not about fancy hairdos and luxurious clothing or fancy jewels. So doesn't the New Testament command us not to give too much attention to outward appearance? Well, let me put it this way. Doesn't the Lord Jesus command us to fast? Aren't we commanded not to go along with sinful entertainments? So John's person showed he was willing to be separate from the world. Are you? And finally, John's promise showed he was willing to come out of the world. His wonderful message. John was living in hope of the great promise of God. The Lord who was coming with the gift of the Spirit. And so for that future hope, he pursues something better. He rejects the treasures of Egypt because he's waiting a heavenly city. And he's living for that future glory of the kingdom of God. So are you willing to live for that? Is that going to be your ambition and your purpose in life? That you will be satisfied with the future hope of Christ. So John sets the example. He's saying, are you willing to come out and be separate from the world? Now today, there is intense pressure on us as Christians to conform to the world. You see it in sexual ethics. It's okay to have a partner before marriage. It's okay to have multiple relationships. It's okay to have homosexual unions. And there is tremendous pressure to conform and go along. There's growing pressure to stay quiet in a multi-faith society, that Christians should not share their faith. That you should not speak out and say Jesus is the only way to God, because you're a bigot. And we will be squeezed out of public life, out of the public square. And the great temptation will be to give in, so that Christianity becomes something private. And there's growing pressure in many ways with how we spend our money, with raising children. And if you want to follow Christ in the generation to come, there's going to be real opposition and persecution. Some Christians are going to be pressured out of their jobs. You're going to be pressured if you go on the internet and social media, just in ordinary conversation. And the great question facing this generation of Christians is, are you willing to accept that exclusion? Will you follow John into the wilderness? And are you willing to make that stand for Jesus Christ? And say, I will follow him, I will repent, and I will not follow the way of the world. So will you, are you willing to be an outsider for Jesus Christ? May God give us the grace to be faithful when the test comes. But then there's the second question that arises from John's ministry. Are you willing to stand with sinners? Are you willing to be identified as a lost sinner who needs a saviour? I imagine in the crowds going to John, there would have been a really diverse mix of people, young and old, rich and poor, real variety, different personalities and backgrounds. But what's uniting this multitude together? What draws all these people together was a spirit of repentance. What they've all got in common is they're all coming to confess that they're sinners who need a saviour. That's the very thing symbolised in the baptism of John. They were saying, we need to be washed clean. We know that we're dirty in sin. We need this promised Messiah whose spirit will cleanse us. And so John's gathering around him this group of sinners, gathering around him. And this is why the Lord Jesus came to be baptised. As Matthew puts it in his gospel, Christ said he should be baptised to fulfil all righteousness. And John says, no, you be baptised. I know that there's no sin in you. But Christ comes in order to identify himself with sinners and say, I stand with them. I will go down into the waters of judgment with them. I'll be numbered with this repentant people. They are mine. I'll identify with them in guilt and bear it for them and give the righteousness they need. What I'm trying to say to you is that this is the striking thing about real holiness. That's what we've been talking about tonight, about holiness, about being separate. Real holiness means you separate yourself from the world to belong to God. But it is not about separating yourself from sinners. Real holiness actually draws in lost souls. Real holiness has an attractive power, a cleansing power that's contagious and draws people. Sinners who are repenting draw together in the church, and it attracts other sinners. Real holiness is you're separate from the world, but you stand with sinners in humility and repentance, and it draws them. You see, as a contrast, and this is one of the big themes in Mark's gospel, consider how others practiced holiness in Israel at that time. The Pharisees thought holiness meant separate yourself from sinners. You mustn't eat with them, or touch them, or visit them. And blindly they thought that they were better than sinners. So don't be around sinful people, they might contaminate you. Or similarly, there was a sect out in the desert, the Essenes. And they were a zealous group of Jews. And again, because they thought to be holy meant you should separate yourself from sinners, they would go out and form their own little community, and they'd cut themselves off from interaction with others. And what I'm trying to clarify is that, yes, be separate from the world, but real holiness is not about being separate from sinners. Real holiness is about sinners drawing together in repentance, and it draws others in. And real holiness is about identifying with sinners and then healing them. And you'll see in Mark's gospel, that's exactly what Jesus does. And that's what the Pharisees didn't get. That's what they couldn't understand. That here is Jesus, the Holy One. That's how he's first going to be introduced to us in a few verses' time. And yet he reaches out to embrace sinners and love them. And his holiness begins to purify the repentant. So holiness means that we spur ourselves of the sinful values and beliefs and practices of the world. And we separate ourselves from that. But it means also you identify with sinners. That we stand together as people who confess we are sinners who need a saviour. And we humbly seek to come alongside other sinners. Jesus ate with sinners. And we spend time with fellow sinners. We invite them into our homes and lives. We seek to do them good. We seek to connect with them. Not to judge them or pull away from them or look down on them. But to say, we too are sinners. But I know a Saviour. And so we stand with holiness and humility. So as we consider John's great ministry of separation, but of sinners being drawn, are you willing to separate yourself from the world more than ever before and to stand for Jesus in how you live, speak and act? And are you willing to stand with sinners and to draw closer to other needy sinners to point them to the Saviour? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the real holiness we see in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is without sin. We marvel, Lord, at his perfect purity and righteousness. How he walked into the most sinful situations and places and never did one thing wrong. Not one sinful thought or sinful motive or desire. But that he is the perfect and spotless Lamb of God. That he walked through the world, rejecting all its sinful ways. We thank you for such a wonderful Saviour. But we thank you also that we see in his holiness a love for sinners. A compassion that embraced the lost. That called men and women to repent. That he came alongside sinners who were hopelessly lost and loved them. That he was willing even to take their sins on himself upon the cross. Lord, please teach us real holiness. May your spirit be a cleansing fire within our lives. Lord, divorce us from the world. Help us, Lord, to spot its insidious lies and its grip upon us. Lord, give us strength against its evil pressures and temptations. And yet, Lord, help us to avoid false holiness. Help us to truly be humble and to stand alongside sinners to point them to the Saviour, in whose precious name we pray. Amen.